Amen. Shall we take our Bibles this morning and turn in them to the book of Matthew, in chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And the section that we're dealing with last week and this morning is verses 1 through 23. And in this section, the Lord Jesus Christ, in that same day, in which he was accused by the Pharisees of doing that which he did by Beelzebub, by the power of Satan, and his response to them. And then others, Pharisees, came to him and asking him a sign, and his response to them. And while he was responding to them, he was interrupted. He's interrupted by his mother and his brethren who were seeking him out, but because of the crowd weren't able to get to him. And he took that occasion to let us know who his true family was. It is today. That same day, Jesus speaks to the great multitudes, and he speaks many things in parables. Last week we dealt with verses 10 through 17, which was simply his disciples asking him why he spoke in parables. And Jesus gave the answer why. It's because unto them it's not given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So keep in mind as we look at this parable today, which is, we'll be looking at verses 3 through 9 and then verses 18 through 23. Keep in mind that this parable was spoken for the benefit of his disciples, for their benefit. So we want to look at the parable, and to do that, let's read verses 3 through 9 quickly here. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This first parable that Jesus puts forth is that of the sower and the seed. And he gives the explanation of it. And we have that in verses 18 through 23. Christ's parables are taken from common, everyday occurrences, common everyday observations. He chose to do this that spiritual things might be made plainer and by well acquainted likenesses, they might be easier to understand. He chose to do this that by these common, ordinary, daily occurrences and the spiritual truth which they teach us. Think about that. Common, everyday occurrences and the spiritual truth that we can glean from them. We ought to pause. We ought to think upon those common, everyday occurrences. It's caused me to stop and ponder some a little more. In this manner, the Word of God speaks, and it speaks more commonly with us. If we'll stop and we say meditate on these things, look with me at the book of Proverbs for a moment. The book of Proverbs in chapter 6. In verse 20, we read, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." Keep thy father's commandment. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Literal? Well, figuratively literal. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Our whole course of life, our whole walk of life, we have these daily occurrences that happen that we can relate to. But if we'll stop and pause upon them, if we'll stop and meditate upon them, they'll teach us the things of God. They'll teach us about God. They'll teach us about His ways. Now, the parable, which we read there in verses 3 through 9. It seems plain enough, doesn't it? It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But let me ask you this. Would we understand it if we weren't given the exposition of it? You see, we read that knowing the exposition of it, we say that's pretty simple, that's pretty plain. Because we know the exposition of it. But take away the exposition. Would we understand it? Would we comprehend it? Jesus gives the exposition after that his disciples asked him in verse 10, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Which, it seems like from the context of this, they were probably asking for themselves as well. In fact, if you look in Mark chapter 4, and we, Mark chapter 4, verse 10 shed some light on this. This is Mark's rendition of this same thing. In verse 10 it said, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." Oh, it seems like they wanted to know the meaning thereof, doesn't it? Look with me at Luke and what Luke says in chapter 8 and verse 9. "And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be?" Well, for whatever reason, Matthew chose to only recite the fact that they were asking, why do you speak to these people in parables? But it's obvious that they themselves were inquisitive. What does this parable mean? You see, in verse 18 of our text, in the 13th chapter, Jesus goes on and he says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. You have heard it. I just spoke it to you in verses 3 through 9. But let's take a closer look." In essence, is what Jesus was saying. Which gives to us an insight into repetition. Repetition. It's worthy of note that repetition is good for us. Paul used it in the book of Philippians, chapter 3 and verse 1. He said this to the Philippian church there. He said, "To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, is not a burden for me to do." In other words, to write the same things that I wrote to you before, or said to you before, is not a burden to me to do. And he says, "But for you it is safe. It is good for you that I do it." So Paul's claiming that repetition is good. Especially repetition of the Word of God is good. Peter also used it in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 12. He said, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." In other words, what you've heard in the past, what has been said in the past, I'm going to remind you again of these things. Now, concerning this parable, the seed that is sown here is the Word of God. Verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom." The word of the kingdom. Note here that it is kingdom. It is kingdom singular. It is not kingdoms. His kingdom is one kingdom. He is the ruler. He is the sovereign. It is the kingdom of heaven. The word of the gospel is the word of the kingdom. It is the word of the King. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The word of the King. It is the word of the kingdom. It is the word of God. And where the word of the King is, there's power. There's power where the word of the King is. And so Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or to the Gentile. It is the seed sown, and it is an incorruptible seed." Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. He says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." He says here, the word of God, the word of the gospel, is an incorruptible seed. It does not decay. It does not corrupt. It does not pass away. It is the incorruptible seed. It is the gospel, which brings forth fruit. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verses 5 and 6. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel," the word of the gospel, which is the word of truth, "which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit." The word of truth, the word of the gospel, it brings forth fruit, "as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Since the day that I heard of it and knew the word of the gospel in truth, it brought forth fruit. It brought forth fruit unto life, and it continues to bear fruit in my life today. And that's what he told the Colossians there. Now the sower. The sower. He's the one who sows the seed, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself. Look with me at verse 37. Verse that we've not got to yet, but we'll be getting there. But we need to jump there for this point. "He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Is the Son of Man. Just another term for the Son of God. For Jesus Christ, the Messiah himself. And not only Jesus Christ, the sower, but all his servants as well are sowers of that seed. And so he said in John chapter 15, in verse 16, speaking to the 11, speaking to his church, he said, "I have ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." I have ordained you that you should go and sow the seed and gather in the fruit from that seed brings forth. When it sprouts forth and brings forth fruit, you gather that in. And that it is a fruit that remains. It is a fruit that abides. In other words, the seed sown, when it falls on the good ground and brings forth fruit, it is fruit that abides. All of the fruit that is produced from that seed sown abides forever. Shall never be taken away. It is an everlasting fruit. The ground. The ground is that which the seed is sown into. This is the hearts of the children of men, which are differently fitted and arranged and accordingly the success of the seed sown, the word, is different. There are different types of soil. And depending on the soil, one can work and work and work in preparing the soil and sow the best seed that is available, and it brings forth nothing. Now, we pause and note on that point. That is man's labors in trying to prepare the soil. But when that soil is prepared of God, it becomes good soil. And it's ready to receive the seed that is sown. Just felt it necessary to make that point of distinction there. Now, he gives to us in this parable, he gives four types of ground represented here. And three of the four are bad, are not good ground. They're not ground that is conducive to the seed sown. Look at, just quickly, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16. Jesus said here, he said, "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called," the seed sown, the word of God is broadcast out there, "but few are chosen." But few chosen. The seed is cast out there, the word of God is broadcast out there, but there's only some that is chosen of God that is good ground. Amen. Amen. That he has prepared, that he has worked, that has been ready, made ready to receive that seed as its own, and it brings forth. First of all, we have the side of the road, or shall we say the roadway. I mean, it actually falls in the roadway and along the side of the road. Look in verses 4 and verse 19 for this. We read in verse 4, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Verse 19 says, in that exposition of it, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one," Satan, "and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." The wayside was the roadway, was the beaten path on which people trod upon. In the days of Christ, they had roadways, pathways through the field. As it was noted in chapter 12 and in verse 1, Jesus and his disciples, they were going through the fields. They were passing through the fields on the roadway that was there through the field. And while they were passing through there, his disciples pulled in some handfuls of grain and ate it. And give reason for the Pharisees to ridicule and to find fault with that. But the point is, they were commonly traveled paths. They were beaten down paths, we would say. We have that, well, especially up in farming country, we have that today. I mean, when the corn gets up 20, 22 feet high and everything on both sides of the road, and the road just going down through, we have that up north quite frequently, you see. And it's just a pathway through the fields, we'd say, you know. Even though it was paved roads today, they didn't have paved roads back then. It was beaten pathways. So some seed, as it is broadcast, would fall on the roadway, even if the sower is trying to take special pains to make sure that it doesn't fall right on the roadway. He's trying to get the field sold, see? And so he's just broadcasting it, and some does fall on the roadway. Some falls along the side. But anyhow, the point is, it's not very good there. It's not very good soil. It's not very conducive to the seed sprouting and taking root and coming forth. These seeds fall on this roadway, and the birds come and snatch them away. Living in farming country, I can see it, picture in my eye now. A little grain falls on the roadway, and boy, as soon as that vehicle's gone, the birds flock to it and are snatching it away. Has no opportunity to come forward. These hearts into which the seed entered or fell, we would say, are careless. They're inattentive. They're negligent. They don't care. They don't have an interest in it. This individual is not fazed in the least by the preaching of the word. The sowing of the seed, the sowing of the word of God, they're untouched by the word. As soon as they hear the word, immediately Satan, that wicked one, comes and snatches it away. This is one that had the word preached to him, the seed sown, and immediately it's snatched away. Why? Why? He had not a heart for it. He had not soil to receive it. Soil that was prepared to receive it. It was hard ground. It was beaten path. And because it fell in the pathway, in the roadway, the birds came and got it right away. Satan came and snatched it away. The next is stony ground, found in verses 5 and 6. And we'll not read verses 5 and 6 again, but we'll read verses 20 and 21 that are the exposition of it. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, immediately, with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by he is offended. Verses 5 and 6 said, fell on stony ground, and it didn't take root, and because it had no root, the sun came up and scorched it. This hearer, he hears the word. He hears the word of God. He doesn't hear it by accident. Maybe that's not a good word to use, by accident. Anytime the word is sown, the word of God is sown, it's not by accident. It's by purpose. Amen. But he is attentive. And maybe even has some understanding of what he hears. He receives it and gives assent to it. He believes it historically. You know what historically is? History is that George Washington was president of the United States. Were you here then? But do you believe that he was the first president of the United States of America? Because history teaches it, and you believe it. You don't have any reason to doubt it, right? Well, that's historically. Historically, he believes the word that is preached. He believes that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that Jesus Christ came, that Jesus Christ died for sinners on the cross. He believes it as a fact of history. He has no reason not to believe it as a fact of history. And because he believes it historically, he makes a profession of faith. You see, they're quick in hearing, and they're immediately ready to receive the word, even with joy. Oh, we're all old enough here, we can think back on experiences and times when those kind of individuals we've come face to face with. But the word is not rooted in him. Christ is not abiding in him. And he is not in Christ. He's not rooted in him. Therefore, he only lasts for a while. When the things which are disagreeable to the flesh arise, come to pass, he falls back from it. And he ceases to follow Christ. They do not endure to the end. We dealt with a verse similar to this thought in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, a couple months ago, in verse 22, when Jesus, speaking to his apostles, said this, when he sent them forth, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." That's a fact. But did the apostles endure to the end? Yes, because they were rooted. They were rooted in Christ. He was in them and they were in him. Even though they were hated. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. You see, those that are truly saved shall endure to the end. They're safe. They're safe. Why? Because their root is in Christ Jesus, their Lord and Savior. The next we would say is thorny ground. It fell among thorns. Verse 22 is the exposition of verse 7. It says, "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." The ground is like the thorny ground. However, these thorns haven't arisen up out of the ground yet. Their seed is laying there in the ground and ready to spring forth. Not yet having sprung forth. And the seed sown falls on this type of ground. Might even appear to be good ground. This person, this heart of this person upon which this seed falls is not irreverent. He's not a reviler. He's not a persecutor. He shows a love for the word. And he even seems to be broken by it. His life is reformed on the outside. On the outside. His life is reformed. He has everyone forward. He has everyone forward. But the thorns are lying there under the ground. They've not yet come up. They're ready to spring forth. But by and by they spring forth. The thorns spring up. They overtake even the sprouted seed that has come up and come forth because they grow quicker and spread out more. You see, by and by, the distractions of this world come. Oh, and the things of this world can be a distraction. Can even be a distraction to the child of God. We're not to allow them to be. But notice that these distractions of the world are compared to thorns. They're compared to thorns. Not pleasant. Not good for you. You see, the world's not good for you. The things of the world are not pleasant. Not good for anyone. One of the popular distractions of this world are the deceitfulness of riches, which are mentioned. Deceitfulness of riches, and they are deceitful. How deceitful are they? Well, they're so deceitful that even some believers have been drawn away. Some believers have erred. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. In chapter 6. Look at verse 7. We read, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Be content with what? Food and raiment. Food and clothing. But they that will be rich, they whose desire, they whose heart is set upon riches, which is going to become evident in the next verse, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, the insatiable urge and desire for money, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You know, they're not walking in the straight and narrow. They're not following closely the things of God like they ought to be. They've been distracted. They got their eyes off of Jesus and onto what money can buy, what money can give them. But money's only for a short time. The things which are produced by eyes being on the Lord Jesus Christ are for eternity. They last forever. Can't take them away. You can take them with you when you die. You see, child of God ought not to be distracted by those things. The world, the unsaved, this individual in our text is distracted. Distracted by the things of the world. Distracted by the deceitfulness of riches. These things choke out the seed. They choke out the word. And there's no fruit. No fruit. But then he says, some fell in good ground. Now the good ground. Verse 23 is the exposition of that good ground. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. It brings forth fruit. Praise God. This hearer hears the word. He understands it. He understands it because he has been given understanding. He's been given enlightenment. His soil has been prepared. His heart has been prepared by God. We're told in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 63 at the words of Jesus himself. He said, "The Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." He said, "The words which I speak unto you, the words of God, the words of the gospel, they are life." You see, yes, this individual's heart has been prepared by God. He understands what he hears. He understands. He's been enlightened. The Spirit of God has given him discernment. The Spirit of God has given him application of the Word. He has received it by faith. It is God's grace. It is the gift of God. The seed sown in that soil is a gift of God. The soil being prepared is a gift of God. The seed sown into that soil is a gift of God. Because the seed is rooted in good ground, is rooted in Christ Jesus, ground that has been prepared by God, it brings forth fruit, the fruit of grace and righteousness from Christ under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Under the Holy Spirit's leading through the Word, he is led by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You see, these individuals, they have the good ground, and the seed falls on it. It roots, and it comes forth. They bear fruit. They don't all bring forth the same quantity, but it's the same quality. It's everlasting fruit. It's a fruit that abides. It's a fruit that remains, as he told his apostles in John chapter 15, in verse 16. It brings forth the same good quality, the same quality. It brings forth with patience, as we're told in the book of Luke in chapter 8. Of Luke. Luke's rendition in verse 15. He said, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." You see, they bring forth fruit with patience. They're patiently awaiting that fruit. It doesn't matter. They're bringing forth fruit. It doesn't matter whether it's 100-fold, whether it's 60-fold, or whether it's 30. They're patiently waiting, and it's bringing forth fruit in patience. It's constant. It's continual in all seasons, even in old age. Some of us are getting close to old age. What's old age? I don't know what old age is yet. Well, really? Really? But so even in old age, so we're told in the book of Psalms, chapter 92, in verse 14, the psalmist said, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. As long as there's life for the child of God, it doesn't matter whether he's young or whether he's old, he's bringing forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You see? And it is brought forth in perfection, even in death. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 tells us concerning Jesus Christ, he is able to save unto the uttermost. He's able to save to completeness. He's able to save to perfection. And in death, think about it, for the child of God, in death, the death of this body is the perfecting of that saint. When he beholds the Lord face to face, that's the perfecting of that saint, completes the work. He does not abandon it. He endures to the end. In closing, we're told in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 55 and verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, we as servants of the Lord, he says to us that we're to be broadcasters, we're to be the sowers of the seed. And know that that seed is going to fall on bad ground. Most of the ground it falls on is going to be bad. But there's going to be some ground that it falls on that is good, that is chosen of by God. It was prepared by God at His time, at His appointed time, to receive that seed, to receive the word as it's sown. He said in verse 9, what did he say in verse 9 of our text? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, there's the exposition of the parable. The good ground is he that hath ears. Well, don't we all have ears? Well, some don't have ears to hear the word of God. As we've gone through this exposition, some don't have ears to hear the word of God. But he that does have ears, he'll hear. He'll hear. And he'll do. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing.